head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariat, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanty, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
And thank you very much for joining me on the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding, with you once again, 263 now weeks in a row. And glad to be with you. I feel good, and I'm seeing good. There's all kinds of reasons for that. We got a great show. We got some really interesting guests on the show today. I'm feeling good because my health optimization program with Heiser Health, one of this show's sponsors, is going really, really well. I've dropped a few more pounds, now down to 197. I actually started up at like 229. Yesterday I went out and played some golf with some people in a scramble, and you know, I've got a little more distance on my drives thanks to all these new muscles I've got. So anyway, if you're interested in improving your health and just getting better and feeling better, Heiser Health, give them a call. You can find them online at Heiser Health or on Facebook. And I'm also seeing better. I mentioned last week that thanks to the Eye Care Institute, I'm going to be undergoing a LASIK treatment later this month. And I have some contacts in that they gave me that are supposed to simulate what life is going to be like when I have the when I'm done having the procedure, and it's really great. It's really great. I'm very excited about it. The folks at the Eye Care Institute are the ones. They're the best in town. Dr. John Mayer is going to do my surgery, and I'm and I'm very excited about having that happen. So anyway, we'll get to some more stuff later on. I want to tell you who's on the show today. I am very excited about the Bourbon City Guest of the Week. I got to be reunited. This is some weeks I'm meeting new people, and other weeks on this show I get to reunite with people I've known before. And the Bourbon City Guest of the Week is J.P. Davis, who is a top executive at the Fund for the Arts, and which is a very important organization in this city. J.P. was on this show 4 years ago as a candidate for Metro Council, believe it or not. And he has moved on. He didn't win the race, as has often happened with people who appear on this show. When politicians appear on the show, they often do not win. But JP was is in a great place now. He's at the Fund for the Arts, and you may associate that with the Kentucky Center for the Arts, where they are trying to repair the damage from a fire that occurred a month or so ago, and that is going along well. September 1, just so you know, is the date that is targeted to be over with. So that's going to be an interesting thing as well. And JP has a lot to say about what's going on and what you can do in this city as part of the culture pass that they're promoting. And it's a great deal. It's a great deal. You should stay tuned and hear all about it from JP. So that's our Bourbon City Guest of the Week. And first up, we're going to have, in just a few minutes, I was really happy that I basically came up with the idea. I always like to have a Forecastle-related guest on Forecastle Week, and the big Forecastle Festival is this weekend. 70,000 people be coming to town just for that, and just for that festival, and there's so much going on. It's just a great thing for our city, and it's really put us on the map in terms of music. And I have Kelly McKnight on the show. And Kelly has been running security basically since the beginning of the first Forecastle Festival in 2002. And I've known Kelly a long time. Preceding that, he followed my blog when I was doing the Ville Voice, and always giving me some good advice. And this time he gave me a T-shirt. He gave me an old Forecastle T-shirt he brought in that was pretty cool. And he's doing some really interesting stuff. He retired from the advertising business about, I think he said 6 years ago, several years ago, and now has found new life. He is in demand as a person in charge of security. In fact, today, I'm recording this on Wednesday, I saw him down there at the Yum Center at the 3rd Street Garage. He is the one that directs, you know, decides who gets in and who doesn't. You know, when the bands need to unload their equipment into the Yum Center, He sort of directs traffic out there and makes sure that no bad guys get in. But we talked. He's got some great forecastle stories, and I really like Kelly, and he is also the father of J.K. McKnight, the founder of Forecastle, and that's all. You know, there's a lot going on with that. J.K. was one of the first guests on this show way back 5 years ago in 2013. So that's what you got coming up. I do want to mention my other sponsors, which are Passport Health Plan and my good friends at the Greater Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau, who bring you the Bourbon City Guest of the Week every week. So an action-packed show. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think you're really going to enjoy hearing from my guest. And we're going to start out with my interview that took place right here in the studio with Kelly McKnight.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
And okay, it is Forecastle Week, and I am happy to have a member of the McKnight family. I can't believe I've had everybody else in your family, Kelly, but not you on this show. You've been at Forecastle from the very beginning.
From the very first one, I've been at all 15.
When J.K., just a little brat, had a weird idea about a festival, right? And you joined in.
An idea nobody agreed with, including me.
But listen, I brought you on because I see you at Forecastle and a lot of other events, and I think, man, that guy is busy. I know you've retired, but you're at all these events. How's that happen? What are you doing?
What am I doing right now is I work security, and I work security at all kind of events. I work racing, football, basketball, all kind of music events. You name it, I'm working security.
Wow. Well, I met you when you were in the advertising business, and you know, you were busy there. You had a successful career, and then you quit, and I thought that was it. But now you're working as hard as you ever have.
I'm putting a lot of hours, believe me.
So, tell me what's involved in security at Forecastle, because I know you. It seems like a logistical nightmare getting all those acts in and out of the stage and doing all that. And plus the fences there. I always imagine people are trying to climb over the fences. What's going on with that?
Everything you said is true. our job, if you want to put it in a nutshell, it's real simple. Our job is to keep people safe.
Okay,
that's our first job.
And make sure they pay to get in.
Oh, yeah. That's part of being safe. And the second part of the job is to limit, we limit liability. Our job, okay. Our major job is keeping people safe and then limiting liability, i.e. somebody doesn't try to jump over the fence and break their neck. The crowd surfer doesn't crash into the barricade, whatever. Somebody doesn't get run over by a golf cart.
Okay, well, I know the fences are all around there, and it seems very secure, although I guess nobody's tried to swim up, have they?
Yes, they have. Oh, that's a good story. I'm glad you brought that. I forgot about that. One of the first years of Forecastle, we're working, and it's Saturday morning. We're getting ready to open up, and I get this emergency call. There's a guy trying to swim in. So, I mean, I jump in my golf cart. I go down to the waterfront, and it's right behind one of the stages, and there's a guy about 100 yards out. And he's swimming in. So I sit there and wait. And he just isn't getting any closer. So I left. You know, I get reports. He's about 30 yards. He hit the bank and he got up and he walked about 5 steps and tried to blend in. But he was soaking wet and leaving footprints. So I tracked him down, threw him out. He was trying to sneak in with carrying a doggone rucksack. And he had a guitar with him.
Swimming with a guitar.
Yeah, and so we threw him. A nice kid, but I threw him out.
There you go. You throw a lot of people out every year?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, okay. Most of people.
What do you got to do to get thrown out?
Well, first of all, try to sneak in.
Okay.
And they'll try to sneak in anyway. I'm surprised nobody's tried to parachute in. Okay. We've got fences. You know,
they're jumping off the bridge.
Yeah. They could do that. Oh, God, don't put that on the air. they try to sneak in, and then, you know, we've got guys walking around looking for wristbands. So we're going to get you sooner or later. But, you know, they try to sneak in. Got a girl. I mean, one time a girl got caught underneath the fence.
Oh.
Yeah. It was, they had to get wire cutters to cut her out because she was, I don't know how she got, I mean, she pushed it. But they're going to try any way, shape, or form to sneak in. And that's counterfeit tickets. That's fake used wristbands. That's jumping the fence. That's, you know, it's just any way possible they'll sneak in. They'll try.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And, but I understand for the first time this year, this is the first forecastle, and this is the 16th.
Yes.
You're not going to be there.
I'm not going to be
there. What's that going to be like?
It's, you know, it's weird. It's just that, JK has gotten less involved in Holly over the years. And this year I got stuck either doing the race up at Sparta, Kentucky, the Quaker 400, or doing this. And I couldn't be in two places at once. And, Forecastle's a machine now. I mean, it's just a good machine. They got great people running it. They don't really need my expertise. Okay, so at the track they do. So I made a decision. But I'll be there Sunday just to hang out.
Just to hang out. That's cool. Now you must have. All these artists, and I understand part of what you do. I know you do at the Yum Center, is make sure that the artists like. I'm going to say last night because people hearing this, it's on Thursday. Last night's Journey show, you were responsible for getting the artist in and out of the building.
That's tomorrow night. It's Wednesday night.
We're trying to do a thing when this airs on Thursday. So the Journey show that for our listeners was last night.
Yeah.
That must be a challenge getting the artist in and out. I mean, everybody, like Taylor Swift, right?
Oh, Taylor Swift oh my God, that was an 18-hour day outside. Nice lady, by the way.
Okay.
Journey tomorrow, we'll get them in. Those guys are pros. These guys know what they're doing. You know? They want to get there, get to their locker, get to their dressing room, get in gear, get out, get home. So my job is to make sure they get in and get out. And I'll greet them at the bus. I'll walk them in. I'll take them to the dressing room, and I'll pick them up at the stage and take them out.
Wow. So anything ever happen along the way?
Oh, God, yeah.
Imagine fans try to get...
Fans are constantly trying to get it. And sometimes we'll have 1,000, 1,500 fans outside the garage waiting for these people. Justin Bieber was the worst. And, it's just... we get to hang around with the talent. James Taylor, I spent 2 hours with James. He sat sat down and talked to us, just parked up a chair and sat down and talked to us for a couple hours. So some of them, want to talk to you. Some of them they're on the road and they've got nothing else to do. And some of them just, want to stay in their RV and sleep. It's everything in between. Some of Janet Jackson was incredibly nice. Lady Gaga was really nice. She came in by herself.
Wow.
I've never seen that before. And driving her own RV and just pulled right in and, hey, how you doing? Really a nice, nice lady. Janet Jackson made sure all the crew had something to eat. Our whole crew. She made out of her own personal cafeteria thing.
Yeah.
She made sure everybody in the security staff got something to eat. They're just different folks, different strokes.
Okay. Okay. Now, you do – now, just give you an idea – give our audience an idea. You're working the Yum Center, and you're working the football stadium.
Correct.
You're working all the venues in town, I guess, that – I mean, you're basically working for a company that,
yes.
that puts you at all these events.
I work for ESG, and we're based out of Indy. We have an office here. They're wonderful people. They're real pros. They have a lot. Of course, they have the Yum Center here, and they have Papa John's parking. And they do incredibly a lot of events, but they also do the Bankers Arena up there where the Pacers play.
Okay.
They do the NFL stadium there. They do all Bloomington, IU sports. So,
now, you had mentioned Louder Than Life and I guess Bourbon and Beyond, which was a first-time event last year.
Yeah.
That site seems to me like it would present some problems.
It does. The weirdest thing is I used to play golf there. And now my wife walks our dog there every morning. It's a dog park now.
Well, not on those two weekends, though.
Not on those two weekends. But, they're because it's long and there's woods on all one side. It's hard to keep it clean. But, it's an older audience. These aren't 19, 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
These are people 20s, 30s, 40s years going to those events. And they'll pay the ticket. So... we don't have many sneaking in, I don't think, there. We may. They could. I mean, you can sneak in any event if you really put your mind there.
That's right.
But
my mind always goes back to the Kenwood Drive-In and sneaking in through the hole in the fence and back in the day.
But where was it? Kenwood? Where was that?
At the Kenwood in the South End.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sneaking in. We used to pack them in the trunk.
Well, we did the trunk.
Yeah.
But then after a few times of going in with one guy with the car loaded down the back, we found a hole in the fence and get in. So sneaking in is always, I guess it's a challenge for young people, right?
Yeah, it's any event they're going to try and sneak in. But, the problem is they're going to get in, but somebody's going to spot them. They're not going to have a wristband. and out they're going to go.
Okay. Now you, how do people get arrested? I mean, you must be involved in that. Yeah. How's that go? Is a lot?
No.
I mean, how many people go to Forecastle?
Oh, you got between 60,000 and 70,000. So it's a, you know, there's some people going to be intoxicated. That, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. And you're going to get some people going to heat overheated. And, you know, there is usually some drugs involved, but not much. Forecastle's really light, that thing. Forecastle's kind of one of the easiest ones to do because it's pretty much an upscale audience that are there to hear the music, you know. But, I mean, Bonnaroo, are you familiar with Bonnaroo?
Yeah.
150,000 people camping out 45 miles west of or east of Nashville. Now, that's a different story. You know? And
the drugs are more plentiful.
Oh, yes. And the kids are crazier. And those are a younger group. That's a younger group, a younger audience, and they're going to get crazy. And, it's a lot of physical confrontations at that one.
There you go. Well, I was always interested in your career, Kelly, and like we were buddies back when you were working in advertising and did some things together. Well, I was happy when last time I saw you. You told me you listen to the show every chance you get. So, so thanks. What's your advice on the show, or what do you think?
What I like about the show, it's all you always give me a different spin, and you always give me the rusty perspective. You know, which saves me time and energy of scanning through 50 doggone news sites, and it's just refreshing because I have been career in advertising. I mean, I was a creative director and I owned an internet marketing company, so. I feel like I'm somewhat media savvy, and I don't have a lot of time to look at ads and read stuff. And you give me what I want, you know.
Well, thank you for that. But you did tell me you still read the newspaper, which
every
is
morning.
which is like a Neanderthal thing.
That's counting down. The newspaper is slowly, slowly disappearing. Everybody knows that. I knew it 1996 when I remember the Sacramento Bee went out. It's just gone. There's no advertising.
Well, when I started the blog, the Ville Voice, in 2006 or 2007, it was sort of like this is the beginning of the end, you know, because the internet is, you know, a lot of people didn't really pay attention to what was on the internet. It was an absurd thought to get your news online.
Well, you're a news guy first. I mean, and you have a reputation and you're honest. You know, there's so much fake news out there. You hear that Trump stuff on them. But, I know I can trust you. I know you. I've read your stuff for years. And you cut to the chase, which is what I like. Plus, just give the local perspective, which you don't get in the newspaper anymore.
All right. Well, that's great. I wanted a little fawning. And I want to mention that you brought me a gift here today. I'm going to get you a Rusty Satellite T-shirt. But this is a Forecastle T-shirt from...
I'm going to guess 2006, 2007.
There's no date on it, but it does look old.
It's spotty.
Got the Cafe Press logo on it. So so that's good. I'll be wearing that. Now, maybe we'll take a picture of that and put it up on the site so everybody will see.
Cool.
That they've been making Forecastle T-shirts. You got one from the original?
There wasn't an original. Yeah. We're lucky we have pictures of the original because I took my camera down. Or there would be no.
There were no phones with picture taking.
No.
So
I took a camera down there and shot some, or we would not have any record of it.
Yeah, and what year was that?
2002. And if I had a dollar for everybody who said they were there in 2002.
No, there's a lot of people that if they had all been there, it would have been a bigger success, I guess.
There was no more than 50 to 100 people there.
Yeah. It's amazing how it evolved. And you know, credit to JK.
JK. I mean, you know, as. Everybody told him no, and he's like the little engine that thought he could, and he did it, and it's all JK. Let me preface that. JK, Holly, his wife, who is the PR wonder of the world, my daughter and her husband, Mo and Scotty Howe, who created the Party Cove, which is now a big deal. And Ellen helped, I helped. I mean, you know, in the beginning, it was a family deal.
Yeah.
You know, it was all volunteer, too.
Well, it's certainly become a lot more than that. The company from Nashville bought it how many years ago? Three or four years ago?
Oh, gee. AC Entertainment bought it. Who owns Bonnaroo and a bunch of other ones? God, I'm going 6, 7, maybe 8 years ago.
Yeah, but the McKnight clan is still involved, and man,
somewhat.
I'm so glad. I'm gonna when we get done with this, I'm gonna ask you for a job with you with your security stuff because I want to hang out with Taylor Swift and James Taylor and all those people.
You got it.
So, very good, Kelly. It's been a real pleasure having you on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks, Rusty.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And that was Kelly McKnight. He said he's going to be at the Forecastle Festival as a person having fun on Sunday, but is not working the security detail over there. It's really, you'd think it might be easy to sneak in there. I love that story about the guy who tried to swim in. That was pretty funny. But Kelly's seen it all and has really blossomed in his second career as a security guy. It's really cool. So anyway, as those of you who listen to the show a lot know, this is the part of the show where I talk about some things that are going on that affect me and maybe you, or are just interesting enough to talk about the people and places that have been on this show or are prominent people in the city of Louisville. And one of those is John Schnatter. Now, I've never been successful in getting him to come on this show, and I doubt that that's going to happen in the near future. He got himself in a bunch of trouble a little while back. He has been accused of racism for a comment he made recently at a conference call. This was reported in Forbes National Magazine. Now, you know, Schnatter is he kind of stepped down from his day-to-day role in running the company Papa John's, but he is he was involved in a May conference call. Apparently, he's been getting some public relations advice, well needed, from a private company that I guess Papa John's hired to get him to quit making comments like when he talked about the national anthem protest in the NFL, which Papa John's is a major sponsor of, and he sort of blamed slow pizza sales on the national anthem controversy, and that didn't go well on a PR basis for him. I'm going to read you a part of this Forbes story because I don't want anybody to be confused about why he's in such hot water now. Okay? And here's what it says. It says, on the May call, Schnatter was asked how he would distance himself from racist groups online. He responded by downplaying the significance of his NFL statement. Quote, Colonel Sanders called blacks N-words, end quote, Schnatter allegedly said before complaining that Sanders never faced public backlash. The story goes on to read, with this, Schnatter also reflected on his early life in Indiana, where he said people used to drag African Americans from trucks until they died. True, he did. That is actually what he said. It couldn't be more insensitive, and it's going to cause. This just happened. This just came out in Forbes, so it's going to be a bad couple of days for John Schnatter. The company after the article came out said that they didn't dispute what was reported, but they said they condemn racism and any insensitive language, sort of boilerplate. Yeah, we're not racist, but that's going to have some bad stuff down the road for Papa John's. And it's also, you know, John Schnatter is a member of the University of Louisville Board of Trustees. It's going to be interesting. I've got something to ask. If you're following the show, next week I arranged, and in fact on Friday, I am going to interview the new U of L president, Neely Bendapudi. And now we've got something to talk about, controversial to talk about, because certainly I'm going to ask her about John Schnatter and his position over there, and if they're going to, you know, certainly you think this might be something that could get him kicked off, or maybe he resigned under pressure. But his involvement in U of L, I'd say, will be called into question, certainly, because you just can't make comments like that. No matter what the context, no matter what is going on, Schnatter really literally put his foot in his mouth on this one, and it's going to be tough to see him get out. I'll tell you very briefly, I wrote the longest story ever in Business First way back in 1990, 7, I believe it was, and it was about him and a lawsuit that was filed against his against him by franchisees. And you can still look it up online. And there were some really serious allegations in that story. We saw a lot of depositions. There were the stuff we published was tame compared to some of the stuff that I saw in those depositions way back then. But that's a long story. I'll be happy to tell you about it if you ever meet me and want to know my John Schnatter story. It's pretty good. But he hasn't really talked to me since. I don't know, but he is welcome. John, you're welcome to come on to the Rusty Satellite Show and tell me what's going on. All right, the other big name in there's a couple of things going on in politics. I love picking on Governor Matt Bevin because he's a guy that sticks his foot in his mouth a lot as well. And of course, this week, Andy Beshear, Steve Beshear's son, the Attorney General, announced that he is going to run for governor in the next election. Bevin has not yet announced whether he's going to run for re-election, but it's a presumed thing that he will. And, of course, Bevin reacted with grace and dignity in learning upon Beshear's announcement that he's running for governor. No, he did not act with grace and dignity. He acted like the jerk that he is and said he went to Twitter. Instead of like talking to a reporter or something else, that because Bevin just disdains reporters, he doesn't talk to them. He communicates through Twitter, like somebody I know in Washington. But he basically said if you want more corruption, just like his dad, and you know, it's just a very undignified comment that Bevin made. Then Bevin got in more trouble this week. This video came out. And we're talking about insensitivity here, and Bevin was really proud of this video he did. He'd gone down to the Nativity Academy, which is in Phoenix Hill, and he sort of showed a little 5-second snippet of what he was going to do. He said, "I'm down here going in to watch these kids do chess." It was a chess club, and I'll tell you what he actually said. I can't find it right now, but basically he said, "You'd never expect to find smart kids down here in this neighborhood." That ignited a really big backlash for Bevin, that he is, you know, not taking well. He hasn't really reacted to it, but very insensitive. You know, people, you know, his expectation that no one would expect a smart kid to be down from down in this part of the city. Yeah, that's been called into question. People are calling it racist and certainly just not good public relations for the governor. And our last little political note, have you seen these things that are happening to Mitch McConnell? you want to talk about a man who can't go out to eat in this town. On two occasions in the last week, McConnell at the Bristol in the Highlands and at Serino's in Germantown has been shouted out and talked to derisively by protesters who find out that he's there and don't like the subject of their protest is the ICE. It's the whole immigration controversy that, you know, McConnell's on the wrong side of the issue, and, you know, he's facing public protest. Now, I don't know that these politicians should not be allowed to go out and eat in public, but, you know, McConnell spends plenty of time in Louisville. He has a home in the Highlands, and I guess he likes to go out to eat, and you'd like to think that politicians would be welcome at restaurants, but... it's been a challenging thing for our boy Mitch to go out to eat in Louisville. So that's what he's putting up with. I don't know. I have mixed feelings. I love for people to be able to protest, but if it becomes a big thing, you know, it's going to be disruptive in many ways at restaurants, at any public place. There are times and places that protests are appropriate, and And I guess, you know, I really think that maybe out at a restaurant in public is not the thing. But McConnell's, you know, the problem with McConnell and Bevin and some of these politicians is they don't talk to the public. They don't go out and see the public. They don't make themselves available. They don't answer questions. They avoid reporters. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that I guess could happen, that does happen. All right, one other big thing that's going on that I think is kind of dumb is that a lot of the members, some of the members of the 2013 University of Louisville basketball team say they're going to sue because they're fed up with hearing questions in public about the NCAA's voiding of their victories and the national championship in 2013, which, you know, the University of Louisville is a member of the NCAA, and it agrees to abide by its rules. And so I just don't get the logic of how these individuals who feel they've been wronged because of an NCAA ruling feel like they have some legal case in that they're going to sue the NCAA, and the NCAA is going to say, oh, well, we're sorry. You can have your national championship back. We didn't mean it when we gave you that penalty. I don't think any judge is going to rule that way, and I think the whole idea of the lawsuit is only going to bring the violations that happened in the time period 2011 to 2015. I think it's only going to bring those more spotlight. You're going to see a lot more about it, and I'm sure the leaders of the people named in the lawsuit, and they're having a press conference today about this, or Luke Hancock and Tim Henderson, two of the players on the team. And from what I've been able to tell in listening to the radio and reading in the news media is that they want to file this suit because they're tired of hearing about it in public, that the national championship is not really a national championship. Well, guess what? They want it on the court. And that's the way I think any U of L fan should look at it. They won it on the court. They're still national championship. There's a big banner right on Market Street above the Taj that says they're national champions. It's time to let it go. It's time to let it go and move on and see if all the new things at U of L with Coach Chris Mack and the new athletic director and all the things going on at U of L, it's time to put that dark period behind us. And, you know, you guys won the national championship. Congratulations. Nobody's taking the experience away from you. Not at all. So, anyway, that's that's what's happening in the news. Thing I just saw, very surprising, Walmart is closing three stores in town. One of them out where I used to live, out in J-Town on Hurstbourne Parkway. I thought it was a pretty big and successful store. There's always a lot of people there. And surprising to see that one closing, and one on Blankenbaker is more of a neighborhood market store. And the one on Poplar Level Road, which I also thought was very popular because, I've been by there, and there seems to be a lot of activity over there. So very surprising. Really a real change in, I guess, the way the world works, because it's hard to imagine Walmart closing its stores. All right. So... I do want to tell you, before we get on to my next guest, I want to talk about the Eat, Drink, Talk podcast that is on this week. It's also about Forecastle. I had Brad Williams, who is a senior executive for Liquor Barn, on the show. And he was very enlightening about the bourbon portion of Forecastle Festival. The Bourbon Lodge is a big part of the festival now, and J.K. McKnight, the founder, is really involved in making sure that happens. It's got a lot of, they've got this thing called the Rarities Lounge, where very rare bourbons are being served and poured, and you can get those. You can actually get you can get a taste of those things, and that's really a big thing. So I encourage you to go over to Eat, Drink, Talk right here on the Louisville.am network. Me and Carolyn McLean are the host, and it is a good show this week. It really is. It's all about the Bourbon Lodge at Forecastle, the drink part of Eat, Drink, Talk, if you will. Okay, well, let's move on to J.P. Davis, who is our Bourbon City Guest of the Week. J.P. and I go back a little ways. I followed him when he was in politics. He worked over at U of L for a while, and he is in a great position now with Fund for the Arts, and they are gearing up for a big year. And until you hear this, it's easy to forget how important the arts are to our community, and I'm glad to put a spotlight on that. With JP. So here's my interview with JP Davis, our Bourbon City Guest of the Week.
Next up, it's the Bourbon City Guest of the Week, brought to you by the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau. Get a different taste.
Today, the Rusty Satellite Show is coming to you from the Fund for the Arts on Main Street. I'm with JP Davis.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello, JP. Gosh, we kind of go back. You, last time you were on this show, you were running for office.
I did.
Good thing that didn't work out.
You know what? Mental health is a real it's a real thing. I don't know what I was thinking, but as you know, I'm an activist at heart. So, yeah, that was a that was 4 years ago.
Believe it or not,
right before I started here at the Fund for the Arts.
Well, there you go. And I guess oddly, this just popped into my head, but the person I most associated with Fund for the Arts before this. Barbara Sexton Smith.
That's right.
Now she's in politics.
She's in politics. Yeah, the irony there. And still a big, loud cheerleader for us. You know, she's a huge advocate for the arts at City Hall and obviously right. everywhere she goes. But she left certainly a legacy here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, JP, you've certainly, I you didn't say this, but I'll say this. I'm glad we didn't elect you to office so you could do this job. But you're executive vice president here. Tell me what all some of the things you do here.
Sure. Fund for the Arts has been busy. We have been working really hard to ask tough questions and really look at all the great things we do, but also where areas where we can improve. And where one of those areas where we know that we needed to work on and improve is access. You know, what are the things that we could do to provide greater access to the arts? If you're a kid or really an adult, if you're a citizen of this region, no matter where you live, for a city like Louisville to really have what we have here, there should be no reason why anybody should be denied access to the arts. And so we took a hard look at our fundraising, and we really started focusing really sort of a donor-centric model in looking at major giving outside of our traditional annual giving. And we really started to focus on how we could leverage the power of the arts to better serve this community and move this community forward. We also looked at our grant model. So, you know, the fund is fundraising, but we're also grant making. And we really looked at how we could spark more impact. How can we graduate more kids? You know, how are we supporting artists and the creative community in a way that moves Louisville forward? And not just sustain these iconic institutions, which do incredible work here and have long, long-lasting legacy in this community, but how can we really prepare for the next 50 years? You know, we're the oldest United Arts Fund in the entire country, that with Cincinnati. And a lot of people around the country look at us as a leader. And we're really looking at what we've done great for since 1949 and what we're going to do through 2049 to really move this city forward.
Yeah, well, I know it's a big challenge. It seems like always, and no matter what the economy is doing, it must always be a challenge to get people to give money, especially for the arts. So how do you, I mean, how has it changed over the last several years? Is it tougher? Is it a tougher ask out there?
You know, yes and no. I think that I think there's more collaboration happening than ever between the nonprofit and the public sector with private donations. I think that people are looking at impact. I think it's no question that arts and cultural truly drives the soul of the city. And when you invest in arts and culture, you're investing in the creative community. I like to say that a lot of the creative community are entrepreneurs. Most of them are, you know. And I think when we invest in that, people want to live here. And I think people want to stay here and raise their families. And so one of the things that I think has changed is for example, this summer we're celebrating the cultural pass where we administer along with many partners, thanks to Churchill Downs and Mayor Fisher and the Metro Council. And that's a program that offers free summer access to every arts and culture institution that signs up, which there are over 40 organizations that are signed on to this program, and one adult. So all summer long, students, summer learning loss, as we all know, that is a real thing when school is out, we're able to offer that free to
Okay, so tell me how that works, because so this pass, this cultural pass, is it something people buy and then...
It's totally free. You just go to any public library and you sign up, and it gives you a pass to gain access to the participating arts and cultural institutions.
Okay. What kind of places are this?
So that's the Louisville Zoo. That's the Kentucky Science Center. Okay. That could be the Filson Historical Society. That could be, there's a whole slew. There's over 40.
So there's got to be a catch. So you go and sign up and you get admission for free. Is there any ifs or buts?
There's no ifs or buts. You just go.
And
enjoy and learn.
So everybody that has a cultural pass can get in to the zoo, for example, for free.
Well, that's right.
That's a great deal.
And one
adult. Aware of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
and do the institutions themselves, that I guess they're giving up part of the revenue to fund the program.
Everybody gives a little. And our job at the fund is try to find as much support, community support as possible to subsidize that makes it worthwhile for all of these institutions to participate.
So how's it going? How many cultural passes are
We saw a 26% increase over last year.
Okay.
And so we anticipate this year being well over 30,000 passes utilized.
Wow.
So we're super proud of that.
That's a lot of people walking around.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Because I know a lot of – I've noticed like when I drive around downtown, there's always – especially down here, we're at 6th and Main, but down toward the museums, Slugger and the Evan Williams thing, which is probably not included, but there's a lot of people walking around looking like they're tourists.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
It does.
There's a lot more traffic downtown for sure. And, Louisville's always celebrated a rich arts and cultural sector.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you some perspective, the Fund for the Arts, for example, we're the most generous arts city in the nation per capita.
Okay.
More people give to the arts, support the arts in this city than anywhere else in America. And that's something else, cities Louisville size don't support the arts presence that we do. It's a very unique presence.
I know that people used to get, I guess you still have an employee giving program.
We do.
Where you do it through the company. I think I did that in one of my jobs that I had. But when people give to the Fund for the Arts, you support certain organizations, right? I mean, there's like 12 of them. How many are
there? We have 13 institutions that we give sustaining impact grants to.
Okay.
And those are institutions like the Ballet, the Louisville Orchestra, the Kentucky Opera, Kentucky Shakespeare, Actors Theater, Stage One.
Okay.
And there's 13 that we provide sustaining impact grants. But we also award several million dollars to teachers and artists and individual artist programming, and we do teachers arts grants, and we're in every elementary school in Jefferson County and some in southern Indiana, and we're growing to the counties outside of Jefferson County, which we're super proud of. But we give out a whole bunch of grants outside of just sustaining impact grants.
And I know I've seen the school buses out here. You have a lot of programs where you bring kids in.
Absolutely.
Like the Center for the Arts. So there's my transition to ask about the Center for the Arts.
Sure.
They had this big fire. And where are we?
Well, you know what? We're out. The Kentucky Center for the Arts is critically important to this community. And the best advice, the best thing that we can ask people to do is buy tickets and start planning to see those shows in the fall. And don't wait until the fall to buy tickets. Buy them now. Plan. It will be up and running. And they're all working very, very hard to get that place back open and top shape.
Okay. And I understand September is their target for actually
opening. My understanding. I think that's the goal.
So, well, just like everywhere else in town, there's plenty of construction trucks and things around. So I'm sure they'll make that date.
Absolutely,
it is a great place.
It is.
All right. So you've got the cultural pass, and you were telling me, weren't you? There's another program you wanted to talk about.
Oh, the we're doing a lot of collaborating with Mayor Fisher and Louisville Metro Council, and we're trying really hard to make sure that we're not just leveraging public dollars, but also aligning them with private support as well, and vice versa. And we had launched Imagine Greater Louisville 2020, which is the city's arts and cultural blueprint. We administer that plan, but that is not our plan.
Okay.
And that is a significant partnership between the Arts and Cultural Alliance, known as ACA, and the city, and us, and a slew of others, GLI, the Convention and Visitors Bureau. But everybody has bought into this plan, and we're fully committed to executing the plan. But the city has made financial commitment, and dozens of artists and arts institutions in all four corners of this region are benefiting. The impact in these communities we're measuring.
Okay.
So we don't know the solid impact yet, but for our early estimates, we're seeing significant transformation in these communities.
Okay.
By leveraging artists.
So this blueprint or this plan, it's different than what's been done before. I mean, what are the new initiatives?
Well, it's a lot more collaborative.
Yeah.
One specific funding initiative that I can give you an example is something we're calling Arts Neighborhood Academies. And our goal, and right now we're doing one in Shelby Park in partnership with AMPT,
okay.
Dave Christopher over there. And the idea is that when students leave school and they have an interest in dance or poetry or music or theater, that every day of the week after school you go to this location and you have training. And we're funding arts residencies there year-round.
Okay. So you train in, like, an instrument or...
All of the above.
Art?
Yeah. Each day of the week could be something different. And that way teachers and parents can plan and students can plan in that neighborhood that's where they could go.
Okay.
And work on their skill.
Well, ultimately, let's talk just for a second before we close. Big picture. What's the benefit of a city like Louisville having such a... great arts program? I mean, why do we do all this? What's the benefit?
A great art city attracts people, talent, and we know for a fact when you invest in arts early, you're four times more likely to graduate. You're three times more likely to be involved and excel in math and science and receive accolades throughout your educational career. We know that a rich arts and cultural sector attracts jobs. You know, entrepreneurs will want to house their company here if we mm-hmm. invest in arts and culture, and they'll want to stay here. We know that arts heal. We have so much opportunity here to improve quality of life and bring community together. You know, arts and theater tell stories that some people have trouble coming up with words. So we know that arts can help heal, social and societal conflict and issues that we're facing right now. That I know the arts and cultural sector are the first to step up every time and tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you think about the aging population, our parents and grandparents, and making sure that we ensure their quality of life as they get older, the arts are there as well. And so, I mean, I can go on and on, public art and, you know, what the arts, investing in arts and culture truly changes lives. And it affects all of us. And I think we're fully committed to make sure that the arts aren't just downtown, but they're in every park and they're in every community center and they're in every senior care facility and elementary school. And we want arts and culture to be part of the fabric of the city, not just a luxury.
All right. Well, that's a good message. J.P. Davis, thanks for being a part of the Rusty Satellite Show.
Yeah.
Again.
And that's what it's all about here at the Rusty Satellite Show. Thank you for listening in to this podcast that I've done each and every week for 262 now consecutive weeks. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy the opportunity to meet with some of these folks, people like Kelly McKnight and J.P. Davis, who I love. Actually have a really good show next week. I've already got the guests lined up. On Friday, I'm interviewing Neely Bendapudi, the new president at the University of Louisville. And I've also got some news from TARC. I've got a fascinating young man, Russell Goodwin, who is their director of marketing over there, has some news about TARC. And, you know, those new white buses, those zero buses are gone, and now they're in partnership with the Convention Bureau to promote these the buses that go around town that are free, the downtown circulators that are free. So that's coming up next week. That's going to be very exciting. A lot of stuff going on at Forecastle. If you're at all interested in going, I say do. You know, there's something for everybody. The local. In fact, this year I tried to get him on the show. Teddy Abrams is coordinating a bunch of local musicians that are going to perform during the during the festival, and it's going to be really special. A very good performance, I'm sure, led by Teddy Abrams, the director of the Louisville Orchestra. The big names, I guess, the ones that I've heard. Now, I've had Forecastle festivals in the past where I had not even heard of any of the bands, but certainly I know about Arcade Fire and Jason Isbell and the 400 Units. I think the big act on Friday night is Chris Stapleton. So there's plenty. There's 67, believe it or not, 67 acts in all at the Forecastle Festival. It's grown a lot since it started in 2002. And you heard from Kelly McKnight some of the history of the Forecastle Festival here. Reminder, over at Eat, Drink, Talk, we have I have an interview with Brad Williams of Liquor Barn, who is the coordinator of the Bourbon Lodge, which is a big feature of the Forecastle Festival. Remember, it's not just about music. There is arts, and there is a foundation. A few years ago, I had the people from the foundation on here. They do a lot of good work, the people behind the Forecastle Festival, so it's a big deal. So whatever you're doing this weekend, go out there and have fun, enjoy it, and get out and do it. It's going to be hot, and don't let that stop you. Don't let that stop you. Again, this is the Rusty Satellite Show. My sponsors, the people behind my new fitness and happy outlook, are Heiser Health and the Heiser Optimization Health Plan that I'm on. Also want to thank a shout-out to the Eye Care Institute, which is moving forward. We're all moving forward on my journey to get LASIK surgery later this month. I love my sponsor's Passport Health Plan. Have been with me for a long, long time. Very happy to be promoting what they're doing, and invite you to go see the website passportwellbeing.com. And under the community, you'll see, I think there's up to like three or four dozen stories that I've written about people and places in the West End. It's really an interesting site. It's becoming quite a project. So that's Passport Health Plan, and of course the people that bring you the Bourbon City Guest of the Week, the Greater Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau. And I know they're looking forward to next month, the opening of the convention center. Which reminds me, one last thing, the Breakfast of Champions, which I've been involved with for some 10-12 years, is going to have a July event on the 17th, Tuesday the 17th. You should come. Karen Williams, of the CEO of the Convention Bureau, is going to speak and is going to talk about all the changes that are taking place as a result of the opening of the Convention Center downtown. That's a big deal. And if you drive by there, you can see that it's getting really, really close. So if you want to go to that, there's a Facebook page where you can find out all the details and sign up. But basically, you got to bring $20 to the University Club at 7:30 in the morning on July 17th, and you're there. You're in. And a bunch of great networking and great folks that always show up for the Breakfast of Champions. Okay, so that's it for the Rusty Satellite Show. Until we meet again, this is Rick Redding, your host.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Time.